Thanks, Margaret. That's great to have that read for us. Glenn said, we've been going through a bit of a series of talks on prayer, and today we come to conclude that. That is not to suggest in any way that we have said everything that there could be said about prayer, but we have said a whole bunch of stuff. And can I say, just personally, as we've been thinking through this, I've really had to force myself to say, what does the Bible say about prayer? Because we often learn about prayer mostly by listening to others pray. And then we just mimic that in a way. We think, well, that must be how you do it. And in a lot of cases, that's great if you've got a good example to follow. But our best and most important thing to do is to dive into the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about prayer? And my goal and desire has not been to somehow point out to you that, oh, really, you should be praying more, and feeling bad about that and thinking, well, that was a really good time at church because I feel so bad about my prayer life or whatever it might be. Rather, my great goal is that we would understand a bit more about what prayer is. And as we understand about it more, we will be able to understand what God is doing in all of this and understand how we can participate in all of that. But what I want to do is just pick up one phrase that we passed by last week when we looked at Ephesians chapter 6 and which we had read for us today. It says this, chapter 6 of Ephesians verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit. Well, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Is there different types of praying? Praying in the Spirit, not in the Spirit or something? What am I praying in the Spirit? How do I know if I'm praying in the Spirit? I want to pray in the Spirit because the Bible says, you know, what is this praying in the Spirit? Well, I think it's important for us to see that the Bible is absolutely clear about God. There's none of this, well, that's your interpretation, that's your interpretation. No, you read it. You'll see it's absolutely crystal clear. And one of the things Ephesians has been absolutely crystal clear about is when you hear about what Jesus has done for you on the cross, and when you believe that, the Bible says that you are promised that God will give you his Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And then a bit later in Ephesians chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, it talks about how we have access to God the Father by the Spirit that he has given to us. So what we need to see, that to pray in the Spirit, it reminds us of the reason that we can pray at all. You see, when you believe the message about Jesus, you're not only forgiven of your sin, but you are made one with Christ. And when you're made one with Jesus spiritually, and you're able to approach God the same way that he approaches God. He is the Son, and he approaches the Father. So when you are made one with Jesus, you can approach the Father in exactly the same way and with exactly the same relationship that the Son approaches our Heavenly Father. Put it this way. Can you walk up to Buckingham Palace, walk through the door, pop your head in and say, Liz, can I just catch up with you for a sec? You're not going to be able to do it. Even people who work there can't have an interview with the Queen unless it is organised and planned. And I understand that even the Prime Minister, although he has an appointment with her every Thursday, he can't just rock up at any other time that he so pleases. But you know something? Her children can. They can pop in any time they like. Now, that is the point that we're trying to get across when we see this. Now, they can say, well, I'm here to see Mummy. Let me in. And what happens is everyone gets out of the way because the child is here. The Bible promises that the person who believes and is given the Holy Spirit, that moment becomes a child of God and can walk into the very throne room of God and say, I'm here to see Dad. And everyone will get out of the way. There is understanding prayer. And the fact that we can call God Father, and you and I must never tire or think that we've got that point already. We understand it. We've always got to go longer and deeper into it. And one of the problems today is that we're so saturated with the truth that of the reality of it, that the actual reality of it, let me put that again another way, we're so saturated with the truth of this that the reality of it can be lost to us. And we begin to talk in a way that I don't think the Bible does. We begin to talk in such a way that, oh, God will listen to anybody. You can come to him whenever you want, whoever you are. But the Bible seems to be saying only children can come to the Father. Only children can call on his name. The people who can approach God as Father are the people who are his children. Now, you put it this way, who else can approach, if you're a father, who else can approach you as father and say, Dad? Anyone? No, only your children can. Why would this not be any more the case when talking about God? And so what the Holy Spirit does is, when we believe and are given that gift of the Spirit, is he changes for us the relationship we have with God. So prayer is not some transactional thing. Prayer is now a relational thing. The transactional thing says something like, well, this is a religious activity that I must do more of. And I feel bad that I haven't. That's transactional thinking. Relational thinking that gives the gift of the Spirit is saying, I can come to my Father and he will always be ready to hear anytime. It is much more relational. And understanding what it is to pray in the Spirit is to keep fighting that transactional understanding of prayer that we will always default to. We fall back into it so quickly. We say things like, oh, well, I haven't been a great person. God's not going to want to listen to me. I've not done my bit, so God's probably not going to want to do his bit. That's transactional thinking. That's the sort of relationship you might have with the checkout chick at the at Woolies. You have she has a responsibility to you, or he, whoever it might be, and you have a responsibility to them. You don't fulfill that responsibility, that relationship is broken in some way and you need to pay it or whatever it has to happen. But not with God. It's different. With a father, it is different. Knowing God as Father transforms our thinking. Now, I was with a father this week talking to him. And he was sharing how his child had just done something that had really disappointed him. And you know something? The child knew that they had really disappointed him. And we keep thinking that when we somehow disappoint God or whatever it might be, that he is somehow less our father. But when I was talking to this guy this week, I realized in his pain, he was saying how his child had done this thing. I don't know to go into the details, but had done this thing and really disappointed him. But you know what? I realized at that moment, he's not less that child's father. He is actually more that child's father at that point. He's even more their father because the intensity of his fatherhood increased in the midst of being disappointed by his child or seeing that his child was going in a wrong direction. And can you testify to that? Can you say that if your children are somehow going a bit off the rails or whatever it might be, doesn't your fatherhood or care for them intensify? We've got to think like that when it comes to God. He is thinking like that with us. So Romans chapter 8, it does not say when we have the Holy Spirit, we call God Father. What does it say? When we have the Holy Spirit, we Can you remember what it says? We cry, Abba Father. We cry, Abba Father. Do you see how cry and call is a different word? It's a whole different relationship, isn't it? I heard a good illustration a couple of weeks ago, and I hope that it helps with this particular thinking about prayer. Think of a newborn baby. It shouldn't be too difficult to think of one. There's an eight-week-old one here. This newborn baby, it was quite happy where it was. And what happened? Someone reached in and pulled it out of its nice little warm home and into the cold. And suddenly, this little tiny baby, who was nice, very warm and happy, has been pulled into the cold, and there's blood everywhere. Not only is there blood everywhere, there are giants everywhere, and they're all around. And one of those giants has got a big pair of scissors and is about to cut off the food supply. Now, how does that baby feel? It's crying, isn't it? It's crying. And it's that, that word Abba, Father, which the Bible says the believer cries out to God, it's that baby, it's Abba. It's that baby cry for help. What is going on? And Romans chapter 8 is in the midst, not of someone who prays and escapes suffering, but someone who prays in the midst of suffering, in the midst of groaning. The Bible, Romans chapter 8 there, is saying the whole world is groaning. And we are groaning. Even believers are in that time of groaning. And the fantastic thing that this passage is saying is that in the midst of that groaning, we can call out to Abba, Father. Because if you could speak to that little child that had been pulled out and cut and all those sorts of things, you could say, this is not, I know this feels bad, but everything that's happening to you is happening for you. Everything that is happening to you is happening for you. All eyes are on you. And that's where that passage goes in Romans chapter 8. It says, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So in the midst of your crying and saying, what is going on? God is saying, all things work for the good. Cry out to him, to the Father. So to pray in the Spirit transforms our approach to God and our approach to our circumstances. And it also, it changes what we actually will pray when we pray. As read for us, Paul calls us to, and it's in the context of putting on the full armour of God. And putting on the full armour of God is by which we stand firm as believers. And I wonder if it's right to say this. Let me put this out there. What Paul is saying is the way that you put on that armour and the way that you stand firm is by prayer, praying in the Spirit on all occasions, putting on that armour. Prayer is absolutely critical, isn't it? It seems you can't stand your ground unless you're on your knees. So Paul says there, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit. So you can't pray in the Spirit and not pray without the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, it must be in your hand. It must be being held. It is the word of God. So our prayer in the Spirit is according to the word of God, to pray what God would have us pray. And see, then suddenly we shift from some transactional sort of thing and we shift into this relational thing. We say, God, actually, I want you to do for me whatever will make me to be more like the person you would have me be. Whatever that means. Whatever. Is that something you've ever prayed? Because that is praying in the Spirit. I suppose I just want to put a quick plug in here for praying written prayers. If praying in the Spirit is praying according to the Word of God, then a thoughtfully constructed, even written prayer might have more chance of being a prayer in the Spirit than just a spontaneous off top of your head sort of prayer. Now, I'm not putting down or elevating one or the other. I'm just saying sometimes in our context, we think it's more spiritual if we feel it and if it's coming off the top of our head. That's not the case. The Bible is saying that it's more spiritual when it is of the Word of God and that prayer is being said. Do you remember? Before there was Facebook, there was prayer book. Think of that. So praying in the Spirit, it means you have access to God the Father. Is that the way you pray? Have you ever prayed? Praying in the Spirit means we don't just call him Father, but we cry to him as Father. Praying in the Spirit means not transactionally seeing God as the giver, but seeing God as the gift and wanting to please him. And praying in the Spirit is what we cry, not just what I cry, but we cry together as a church when we come together. That's what we're doing. Not just getting together and doing some religious nutty thing. We're actually saying we have, because of Jesus, forgiveness and connection like none other with God the Father. He hears our prayers, and when we come together, we cry, Abba Father. It's not a different type of praying, praying in the Spirit. It's the only type of praying. That's why we pray it on all occasions. So let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you today that as we've been able to think more and more about prayer, we ask, Lord, that you would move us more and more into prayer. Lord, we pray that as our days go by, as they come and go, we pray, Lord God, that they would not come and go just randomly, but they would always, that we would be always giving them into your hands, that we might live each day, that we will live each day for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.